Board and thank you for your patience. Mr. Patsky?
Yes.
Would you come up to the podium, sir? I'm going to put you on the hot seat right off the bat.
Okay. No pressure.
Good morning, sir. Would you state your full name and your ABC number for the record, please?
Scott Patsky, 39556.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency today in reference to, I believe it'd be a modification on home arrest, and it would be a hearing to determine whether you need into regular parole.
Correct.
Okay. So let me introduce the board members of the conducting hearing today. We have Dr. Bill Rittenhouse, Dr. C.T. Lambs, our board chairman, William Notice, and my name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing lady.
Good morning.
So we have some support for you, and we have your bill officer to speak on your behalf or not. Okay, so this is a poll hearing, and what it would be is whether or not to modify home arrest to regular parole. So we're going to go over some information now. Now, since you were before the board and convinced us that, convinced the board that you should be granted home arrest, I believe that was January 31st of 2018 when that was granted. So at that time, everything before you were granted home arrest was covered, and the board decided that you were a good candidate for home arrest and get you back into society. So today is primarily going to be going over what's happened since you were released. I'll even give a little bit of information here. And then we'll get started with that. Your sentence is a life sentence for first-degree murder, which began on January 22nd, 1988. Then on January 31st, 2018, the BOEC granted you home arrest. Then you were certified for this hearing for a modification of home arrest to regular parole or absolute discharge. So very quickly, the original crime in 1988 was that you shot and killed a victim and an arguable over a girlfriend, and drugs were also involved. So,
no.
Pardon?
Okay, go ahead.
No. You have an objection to what I said, and I mean, let's get it correct, because my mind gets mushy when I start reading some of these things.
Yeah, that's not quite accurate, but...
Okay, well, what did...
I shot an intruder in my home, and he had drugs on it.
Okay.
It kind of made it sound like it was some kind of drug deal or something. And,
well, I just obeyed
my bad.
Okay, well, I mean, so the basic thing was the victim was shot and killed.
Yes, he was.
And you ended up in prison for it, and you served your time and apparently did a good job of that, and convinced this board that you would do a good job on home arrest.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think right now the best thing to do is I'm going to ask you to tell the board what's been going on for the last 11 months.
Okay.
11 months. What's been going on in your life since you've been released?
A lot. That's a lot of stuff going on out here. Well, my parole plan didn't survive my release. So I wasn't allowed to go to my wife's apartment because of my status as home arrest. So I went to my mother's, who graciously allowed me to her home. And I stayed there and helped her while we looked for a place that would let us find move in. And I looked for a job on computers, which I knew nothing about. I just sat in my little room there with the laptop and applied for everything. And finally, we found an owner who would lease us a townhouse. even though I was on home arrest. And I thought I had a job when I got out, but the board had restricted me from operating a motor vehicle, and I needed to operate a forklift for that job, so I worked in the trades, and it was difficult, but I did find a job with CMC Construction, where I worked for a time when we were stationary. But what happened with the restrictions on associated with home arrest and the need for an itinerary and everything, when that job ran its course, I was laid off because I couldn't hop from job to job. So my wife and I sat down and we formed our own LLC, and we registered with the Corporation Commission, and we got our EID, and she helped me join a marketing engine called Thumbtack, where I do handyman services. And I have two employees, along with myself, one of which has to drive me around most of the time. But he also has skills in the trade, so when we get there that we can work, and we're doing good. As a couple, we're doing great. We had to kind of adjust to living together. We've been together for 20 years, but we haven't lived in the same house. So it was, it's been fun. It's been an adventure, and I stand before you happily married, in my opinion, a productive member of society. And I think that we can, I mean, I have like all these people supporting me. I have an embarrassment of support, which I wouldn't have been able to accomplish any of without all that. And excuse me. I don't know why I have all that support, but I appreciate it. You know, I think that I don't stand before you asking for a chance to become a productive member of society. I think I stand before you at long last, a productive member of society, and I ask for your help in becoming a more productive member of society. If I could, if I can drive and shake Mardell loose on the itinerary thing, where I can go to take these, I've turned down a lot of jobs because I have to know about them a week in advance. So, to put them on the itinerary, so. I think I did pretty decent.
So you're all totally well versed with the smartphone now?
Actually, yeah. Well, I'm well versed to say, okay, Google, tell me how to do this.
So Google Maps has saved you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Google Maps has saved me, and my wife helped me with the itinerary, and I've got that down now, but I'm ready to move on and learn something else.
Well, when you were first incarcerated, we were all in the same boat. If we had to go somewhere we didn't know where it was at, we had to get a piece of paper out and look at it and follow the lines. And
I remember taking the family trips across country where you stopped at the gas station when you got to that state. The big map out on the foot of the car. Mom and Dad spatting over which road to take.
Now it's Siri, give me directions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's quite a challenge, though.
Yes, the technology was all new to me.
And if you're not real well versed with that phone or your laptop yet, don't feel bad. There's a lot of us that have been out here the whole time and aren't well versed with it.
So. I have fat finger complex on them.
So I'd like to say congratulations on forming your own little company there. There's a great market for handyman services out there.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of people that don't do a good job. So when that customer is wanting something else, they look for somebody else.
So I can pull up my reviews.
That's one of the good things about, the smartphones and the way things have gone, if somebody's looking for some useful work, they don't have to just rely on the
hearsay and everything.
You know, they can look for reviews and stuff, and it's great, because it does help cut down on the shysters out there.
Right.
Makes it a little easier on the people that are good, you know, what they do, and honest in the job and everything else like that.
Appreciate it. I do everything old fashioned, the way my dad taught me, but these guys that work with me are telling me, oh, you know, you just go to Pompey, you can buy one of those, you don't have to make it.
That's a hard habit to get out of. You're doing things from scratch on your own in the right way.
Yeah, we make a tool for that now. Oh, okay.
The rabbit tools are really nice.
Yeah.
I tend to go to Home Depot, or not Home Depot, but Harbor Freight by One Job Tools.
Oh, yeah? They tell me about that. You get them, and it's going to be cheap, and it might last a job, and then you're good.
Yeah. If it gets you through that job, it'll pay for itself. The second job, it's free.
Yeah, but I've accumulated a few good tools, and my sister and brother-in-law let me get one of their fleet vehicles from their company, so I got like a little work truck with toolboxes on it and stuff. As I get a job, if I need a tool for it and I can afford it, I'll get the tool for it, and then it goes in the toolbox. It's been a slow process, but I'm in there.
When you first got out, did you, how to describe it, did you go through any of that where all of a sudden, because you're not closed in with the walls and everything, did you, it's like a reverse anxiety, you know, when people, they're home, or they're alone, or they get anxiety because they're alone, and then they're never incarcerated, but, you know, being locked up like that long. It's got to be quite a feeling when you get out there and realize that, wait a minute, nobody's going to come wake you up except wife.
Right.
You know, you don't have to, when you wake up, you don't see a whole bunch of people in an orange.
Right, yeah, and nobody tells you it's time to eat. I mean, it should have been more difficult, I think, than it was, but my support system was incredible. And my first ventures out into grocery shopping at Fry's or something. My wife and I had worked out little signals if I was feeling anxious or anything, and she would direct me, and she was so kind and like whispering in my ear, like, no, you put the card in this way, and, you know,
somebody told me that.
You know, it was, everything had changed a lot. But, going to my mother's, she lived out of Apache Junction, and she had like a big yard and a couple dogs. So I had like some contemplating space, if you want to say. And, I wanted to hit the ground running, but somebody wasn't having it. But it turned out to be a very good thing.
Right, well, that's what
turned out to be a very good thing. He slowed me down and gave me enough, you know, tugging at the leash to adapt. I came out probably overconfident in how well, you know, what I could do, and he was like, slow down. You don't want to get too much, you know, ahead of yourself. And,
there's so much to do in Texas.
Yeah.
And that's the reason this board generally goes with the home arrest and long incarceration, because that it keeps, like you said, a region on you.
Yeah.
So that you don't go too far too fast, and then fall on your face and you're back in jail. We don't want that.
Yeah.
We wouldn't let you out if we wanted you in jail, we wouldn't let you out in the first place.
So the main thing I get overwhelmed with still is much too. Most of those people's, so when we're going to go somewhere to eat, or that we're going to order something to eat, it's like, what do you want? And there's like too many choices. You go to the chow hall and eat what they give you, because, you know, it's I get, you know, they get frustrated with me, like, well, pick something. I don't know, I haven't ate any of these things. Pick something, I like it. You know, it'll be good, it'll be new. You know, it's been an adjustment, and I'm still adjusting. But I think I've come along far enough to, you know, ask for a little more leash. You know?
Okay. All right, let's see if there's any questions from my fellow board members.
I just want to say, you know, Brian, that you have a good relationship with your parole officer. I think you're being very candid with the board about this last year that you've lived with the restrictions,
right,
and that you're looking for more independence. And that's understandable, so we just want to make sure that we make safe decisions. But it is a reminder that there's a good reason why the home arrest system is set up the way it is. It can be come off as restrictive to the individual coming out of the system, but it's really going to help you. And I say this kind of with humor, but to keep you from having a mental breakdown,
right,
with the shock of change.
Right.
And I will also say that as a new business owner, you've come far, you already have your own driver, you know. some people were years to achieve that.
I've got tired of the job.
But
yeah, you're wrong.
How are you handling, and you've touched upon it, but like the shock factor of all these choices and you know, people and technology.
I think I've done really well. My wife literally holds my hand sometimes and walks me through them. You know what I mean? And I have a large family that's always ready to help with anything I need help with and listen to my confusion over things and listen to me stomp my foot and go, the computer's mad at me, it's not doing what I want it to do. And basically tell me, yeah, it's not the computer, it's you. But, you know, it has been an adjustment, but honestly, I couldn't imagine being able to do it without the love and support of my wife and my family and my friends and nieces and nephews and grandnieces and nephews and some guy in a suit. But, you know, anything I've accomplished, I did not accomplish on my own. And the things I want to accomplish, I don't expect to accomplish on my own.
Well, thank you for your honesty. And
you're welcome.
To defer another board members.
Question?
Yeah. I just want to commend you, first of all, on the progress you made in less than a year. Good to see you out. Just want to ask this, and no one knows what the future holds for any of us,
sure,
but you made all this progress in 1 year. What do you think you'll be doing this time next year? Do you have any plans already lined up, any projections of what you might be doing with your business or otherwise, sir?
My wife right now works in the medical field, and I mean, our goal is to grow our business to where it'll support us. Right now, I bring in a little extra cash, to be honest. And, you know, our goal is to work together and to maybe make it a success. And if not, I mean, I have skills, and I think I've demonstrated that, you know, the plan that I had when I left didn't work out. And myself and my support system, we pulled together, we figured something else out. You know, so, but that's my plan. My plan would be to grow my business to where, when I'm too old to actually work, that there's something in place to generate an income. You know, so. Because it is physical work, and apparently I'm old.
Well, you're not old yet. Do you it 10, 15, 20 years.
I got to have to buckle down for, I have a short length of time to prepare for retirement. And, you know, I got to get some points in Social Security. I have to try to put something away. We have to do something for the future when I'm unable to work. So that's our plan. And I know it's not real specific, but life is not real specific. But, you know, I think we're at least adaptable. And we have goals, and if those goals become unattainable, we find other goals. And, you know, I think my honest opinion is I think I've left all the bad choices of my youth in the rearview mirror, as we say at the house. You know, that's all in the rearview mirror. And I'm looking forward.
So you and your wife, you have your own residence now, sir?
No, we rent.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You...
We have our own rent, and I'm on the lease. So we're good. We have a good relationship with the property manager. And actually, some of my contracts under Thumbtack are with realtors and property managers. So when this lease is up, we probably have a good end to get a slightly better place if we can afford it, depending upon how it goes. But it's a nice place. It's our home. It's my first real home. And we have our first Christmas tree up in the living room. And a little dog.
So you're making progress. I want to commend you. And I'm not going to ask any more questions at this point, but we're very proud of you. Actually, almost a year, I guess, was last January.
Yeah.
Into this board, and this board saw fit to permit you to move forward. And so now, almost a year's passed, and you move forward. So we wish you the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much, Honorable Mr. Neal.
I would just comment that you, I'm just impressed by the fact that if your plan didn't work out, you made another plan. And that's just life. That's
right.
Just how life goes. And I think that's a good thing.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Neal.
I have a wife who, when it comes to thinking outside the box, she says, "What the hell's a box?"
There you go.
Would any of your supporters like to speak on your behalf?
I'm sure they would.
Are you going to let them?
Can you just sit right there?
Oh, right here? Okay. Now, yes, anybody?
I'm Kathy Patsky, his wife. And it's been a year. Some of the things he didn't tell you, I'm here to tell you. When we saw you on January 31st, we left here and called my father-in-law and found out that he had passed. So he never knew that my husband named Pearl. So it was hard. And what he also didn't tell you is he was hospitalized, my husband, for 4 days with a potentially very fatal diagnosis called Brugada syndrome, which is a disease of the heart. They backed away from that diagnosis since, have chosen not to install the pacemaker. He doesn't have a clean bill of health, but I think that helped with our new lease on life too. As they say, we make plans and God laughs. So he has been diligent about working with Mr. Phillips, who has led us through this journey. He made sure we did everything with the business right, from insurance to incorporating to, he has a lot of responsibility in that, truly. It's easy to not spend the money to do those things, but he insisted, and so we did it the right way. My husband's sister and brother-in-law are our best friends. We do, when we spend time with family or we spend time with friends, that's who we spend time with. And they're great, great people. Our family has been amazing. And please know that we appreciate the restrictions that you set forth initially, because I think they were necessary, just to acclimate back into society. I didn't really like driving him around in that big truck, but we did it, and we've got a long way to go, but we'll get there. And he's doing great. Every day we say a prayer to remind ourselves of everything that we've been given and all of the blessings. It's not luck, they're blessings. So thank you so much, all of you. It's been a great year. It's going to be a beautiful Christmas.
Thank you. Any questions? No questions.
Thank you.
Okay.
Doesn't get out there well. I must say, when my son came home, it's quite an experience. I had a sign. I had all rights to Phoenix. I had all rights to home.
Ma'am, would you state your name?
Jay Harmon, Scott. Wherever the council went, or wherever Mardell sent us, or wherever we couldn't, it was like, for somebody that was in a wheelchair and stayed at home, he had me all over the place, making his council meetings and everything. And I must say, if I was slipping up any, or he thought he was going to be late, he was pushing Mom's hand, well, let's go. And what he's accomplished here, I am so very, very proud of. That was a few months that he spent with me, gave me a time with him, and then he went with Kathy, and it kind of made a nice rolling blend for him. And we had to schedule the family meeting him when he came home, because he said he couldn't take all of them at once. So the family had to schedule in little bit pieces day by day to get him to be home and be comfortable. But he made it through Thanksgiving with everybody quite well. I just wanted to tell you how proud I am of what he has accomplished. He's come a long way, and I know he's got a long way to go.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, I know. You got cherry pie.
I have one bite of
it. I'm going to read my little speech, too, because I had a full recovery from finals, six amps. That was emotional. Dear members of the Board of Executive Diplomacy, my name is Candace Wilson, and I am here on behalf of the Arizona Justice Project's reentry team. As you are well aware, the Arizona Justice Project and the Arizona State University School of Social Work have been partnered for several years now to facilitate reentry success amongst individuals who, through your recommendation, have been given a second chance of life in normal society. As a result of our partnership, we have developed systems of support to ensure continual reentry service delivery for clients who are released and or those who have moved to lower levels of DOC supervision. Our team collectively has experience in the field of reentry, recovery, case management, and navigation, and are familiar with the mechanisms of community supervision and the complex needs of clients returning to the community. Scott Patsky, whom my team of reentry staff at the AJP have had the pleasure of working with now for over a full year. Scott is fortunate to have a strong system of support. He is currently living in a space of stability with his wife, Kathy. From our observations, Scott's self-determination to better himself is unquestionable. His wife, Kathy, she has been instrumental in supporting his success outside of prison. At this time, Scott has had ample time to reflect upon his detailed plans for the future, as well as his alternate plan to implement a strategy for keeping himself accountable while adhering to his house arrest schedule. Scott continues to demonstrate through his actions and choices his desire to pursue the next step towards being a responsible citizen in society. This is evidenced by his detailed planning to manage his business without a single violation or on home arrest. Scott goes by the book. He pays attention to the details of the law to remain law-abiding, regardless of the limits it places on his business and freedoms. In our reflection, this is a true sign of Scott's personal accountability and responsibility. As a result, the AJP and reentry team is impressed with his ability to adjust to his new life outside of prison. I want to note a few things that we, the Arizona Justice Project reentry team, consider noteworthy as considerations for Scott's transition to general parole. Since Scott's release over a year ago, or about a year ago, he has remained in compliance with the conditions of his house arrest status. Scott has stable housing, which is a nice place to live, and has disclosed to his landlord his current restrictive situation. Due to Scott's honesty, the landlord willingly put Scott and Kathy both on the lease. Despite the prohibition against Scott's operating a motor vehicle and the restrictive nature of home arrest, Scott was still able, with the assistance of his wife Kathy, to launch an LLC offering the handyman services. The business is insured as in good standing with the Corporation Commission. Scott and Kathy, with the help of their strong extended family, acquired a work vehicle and tools. Until Scott is granted permission to get a driver's license, his business is paying someone to drive Scott to jobs. He cannot move freely from job site, transport materials, nor check on his crew without employing a driver. Scott sticks to the schedule he has on file with his parole officer, regardless of how much it slows down the productivity of his business. I want to close by mentioning that regardless of the board's decision today, the Arizona Justice Project's reentry team remains committed to assisting Scott stay successful as he navigates his new life outside of prison. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions, I can answer them. But I also want to note that with a driver's license, he will be able to go visit his mother and, you know, just a little more freedoms. And he could be our poster child. He's so successful.
Any questions from the board?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's okay, Britt. All right, so now it's time for the quarter.
Marvell Phillips, I am Scott's assigned parole officer. I think that Scott pretty much touched on everything. He does have a lot of support out in the community. He's done very well. And it's not very often you hear home arrest talk about retirement. I've never heard that, so I'm taking back a little bit. But if you guys have any questions in regards to the progress report that I had submitted to you guys, I'm really glad to answer any questions.
I just want to make a couple of comments. First of all, it's very refreshing to have proof positive come before the board that there are inmates that, when they're released and no longer inmates, can be successful. But it's very, very good to see the proof that the parole officers are actually working with everybody. You know, they want to make you a success, because if you're successful, he's successful. This is one of the, you know, better POs that we have, maybe if not the best, but I saw him smile when you said some stuff. So you guys have a good relationship. He doesn't smile often.
Right.
So when he smiles with an inmate or, you know, an offender, you've done a good job. So, Mr. Canales, yeah.
I was just going to say, and I think I can afford a remedy right now, because I know that our parole officers an intense individual, but when I saw the rapport between you two, I thought, okay, these guys don't get along, or they're actually getting along quite well, because he felt comfortable enough to have that sort of rapport with you, and I thought it was a good sign. But hopefully this has been a good case for you.
Any questions?
Great. With everything going on, you've been able to follow that itinerary.
Yes.
and do a good job of it. That's amazing, because, I mean, I know that you don't get, all upset when they miss a few things here and there. You know, I mean, you anticipate some violations when they come out. And if his plan didn't work like he was supposed to, he's still out there and he's still following his itinerary. That's very commendable on both sides. You know, for both of you.
Yeah, he's a very committed individual.
Okay. All righty, any other questions?
from the board. Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Patsky, would you step back up to the podium, please? We're nearing the end of this hearing, and before the board goes into discussion to make a determination, we'd like to give you an opportunity to give us a final statement, if you would like.
I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come out here on home rest. At the time, I kind of thought it was because I just want to go home. But I think it was a good thing. I was there too long to just come out. And but I'm to be honest with you, I'm ready. I'm ready to take the next step in my life and to continue to be a productive member of society and to be able to go swimming.
I haven't heard that one before.
Well, you can't submerge the ankle monitor. You don't have to get about that. But, I'm going to let you down. And you guys were right. That's a good deal.
Okay, thank you, sir. We're going to be going into the discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves, but unless we specifically say something, we wouldn't be addressing you. So just sit back, relax, you can hear the whole discussion, and I'll get back with you once we've made a determination.
Okay.
Boils down discussion. Well, this is definitely an interesting case, and it's from board member, it's very refreshing to see that when we took a chance, on somebody that was successful. I think with all of the support that Mr. Patsky has, not only from his family, but from the acronym's AJP and the parole office, I personally, as one voting board member, I'm in favor of moving Mr. Patsky to a regular poll at this time. But I'd like to hear some discussion from my fellow board members. Mr. Knoebuck.
I think 1 year, thank you, was a nice, healthy buffer zone from this transition to prison to the community. And we're talking about a graduation to more freedom. I mean, he's got some more development to do, but I would feel very comfortable transitioning into general parole.
I definitely agree with that, and I think the driving part of it, definitely will help a great deal with this business, and that not having to submit an itinerary.
Right.
So, yeah.
For the management purposes, I agree.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So at this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a motion to grant Mr. Scott Patsky, ABC number 039556, ready to go and be denied home arrest or absolute discharge.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Kinnis. Okay, Mr. Patsky, the board has voted to grant you ready to go. So you'll be able to now remember you still have to follow the itinerary and everything until you can get with him and he actually takes it off.
Okay.
So you still have the monitor on, so you have to follow the rules until he takes it off.
Okay.
Or tell him otherwise. I mean, I guess they could turn it off and you still have to wear the decoration for a while. Maybe it'll be a transition. We'll turn it off for a while and then we'll take it off.
We can make it black and red, so I'll just put it on.
Make it water proof so you
can swim. Well, they don't want to make it waterproof so many people can swim away in the river. Yeah, there's a river around here. So all of the parole conditions apply. And, you know, there'll be new conditions of release and everything that you'll have to sign as you go along.
Okay.
And you'll be getting a new parole officer too at that transitional time.
Right.
And your new parole officer may not be quite as good, but, you know, give him a chance, you can help him along and educate him a little bit.
Okay.
All right, well, we do commend you.
Thank you.
Thank you for living up to the chance that we gave you. And we hope that you can move forward with your business, get, you know, develop a little bit more, be able to bounce around once you don't have that itinerary. We do wish you the best luck, and we will see you when you return for your first parole hearing after you've been out there a while.
Okay, thank you. Ed, do I understand the restriction on driving is lifted?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Once you make that transition, that was lifted. So,
okay.
So that won't be a condition.
Okay, thank you.
All right. This will end the hearing, and we'll see you when you come back. Have a Merry Christmas.
Okay, you too. Happy holidays.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Officer Phillips.